Yo, what's up? It's your boy Derek here at the Weekly Pulls with my co-hosts at the Tevin minus the I and at Z13 Ricky Z. What's up, guys?
Yo, what's up?
Hi.
That was pretty good, Tevin.
Thanks,
Tevin's really good at stuff.
I've been practicing for a few weeks, so.
It's been a while.
It's been a long time, man.
I know.
I miss it. It's like the weeks just feel weird when we don't pod. It's just
I know, dude. Especially you and me. Like, you live just down the street and I ain't seen you in a month. What the fuck?
Man, it's been wild.
Are you guys even friends?
No.
Barely.
No.
He doesn't take any of my recommendations at the comic shop, so what do you think?
I sent him my 2 weeks notice about 3 weeks ago.
You can't quit. We're short staff. You're going to have to wait until there's a replacement.
That's what he tells me in his text.
we're going to call this the Beta Ray Bill Extreme Fucking Amazing Shit Fest.
I don't probably come up with like a catchier, shorter title.
We can call it the BRB, except we're not going to be right back. We're already fucking here. This is Beta Ray Bill, yo.
That's another long title, though, overall there.
I was about to say, is that all one thing, or is that like...
I need something I can text to my mom.
How about the Beta Ray Bill Bonanza?
Oh!
Well, quadruple
pair winner chicken dinner.
Quad B. Yeah.
We're joined by our special homie on the Twitterverse, the Fat Thor himself, TJ.
Yo, what's up? What's up, everybody? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, dog, all the way out in California.
That's the staple way to start it. You gotta do the yo. It's the only way to
yo. It's like a rite of passage.
Yeah. Exactly. You gotta come correct, right?
That's right. You're already sending it, Thank you.
Oh, man.
Amped included.
So, we've all read Beta Ray Bill, Daniel Warren Johnson, Mike Spicer. What the fuck?
Jeez. What book are we talking about?
I'm going to hit you.
Wait, what?
I'm going to literally get my car right now and go hit Tevin.
you won't even make it up our hill, man.
It's the hill.
It's cool, Tevin. You'll like it. It's like a My Little Pony Thor crossover thing.
With a rainbow?
That is a great way to summarize.
Oh, God, that's funny.
It's like that meme, he's out of line, but he's right.
That's right.
So, I've told the story a couple times, but the main reason I picked up Beta Ray Bill was homie Denny that I lived with in Florida. We saw Thor Ragnarok in the theater, and we all know you saw the fucking Tower of Champions. We saw Beta Ray Bill, and Denny got an Uber boner for it. He's Beta Ray Bill, yeah! And he started telling me all about it, and that stuck with me. And I was like, oh shit, Beta Ray Bill comic. Denny likes that. I'm gonna pick it up. Thank you, Denny, because
whatever Denny wants.
Fuck you.
Denny, if you're listening, you're a grand slam, Denny. Thank
you. Oh, I get it.
Look, I've been saving these for weeks, okay?
That's a good joke, man. Yeah, it's like the breakfast they serve at McDonald's, right? That's what that is.
Is there a way to hang him up?
You can't. I'm untouchable. I'm dead.
Well, that's the end of this episode. We'll see you next time.
Yep, see you guys.
It was fun. Thanks for your six words, Fat Thor.
Well, I'm not going anywhere. This is turning into a fucking monologue. Because I have to talk about Beta Ray Bill, okay?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, I love Beta Ray. I've loved Beta Ray for a long time. I was going to ask you guys, obviously, shout out to Denny, but for Tevin and Ricky, I was going to ask you guys, how were you guys, first introduced to Beta Ray Bill? Where did you first discover him?
I just want to say real quick, I made Tevin read this shit at gunpoint. What about you?
Let Tevin go first.
Well, I mean, my experience is not the same as anyone else's. I've always liked Thor as a character, but I never really went that far into, that universe of it being in the Odin and that whole, what's the name of that?
The whole Thor lore?
Yeah, but I'm talking about
Norse mythology. Asgard.
Asgard. I never really looked into who was there, and you know, we all know Loki and the main characters, but like I never knew about Beta Ray Bill.
How dare you? Beta Ray Bill is a main character. And...
Well, I'm not saying that, but
hey, you're not alone. You're not alone, Trev. I feel like a lot of people kind of knew of Beta Ray, have seen, you know, like, oh, who's this dude who looks like a horse? But I feel like before this series, especially, a lot of people weren't really keen on what Beta Ray Bill is about. Like I said, they kind of just kind of familiar. So I wouldn't feel bad. Like I said, you're not alone for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the cameo, excuse me, the little one that he had, again, I didn't even recognize the guy, so I couldn't even make that connection for the little cameo that he had. So,
Yeah, I'm still holding out hope that we'll get a live action Beta Ray pretty soon here.
Dude, I'm dying for it. Fucking dying for it.
If we need it. Is anything like the comics, we'll fund it. We'll do what we got to do.
First in line.
I'll be there every damn day.
For me, I've been aware of Beta Ray Bill for the majority of my life of comic reading, I suppose. Not like obsessed with him, huge fan kind of stuff, but I mean, I remember I was somewhat youngish, reading like the 80s Thor stuff, and then, of course that's where he first started showing up, and then you know, more as a featured character, and was just like, man, that guy's really awesome, and that was more how I valued it. And then when you get into like Ragnarok stories within the comics, I don't know, well, Tevin, you said you weren't much of a Thor reader. I wouldn't say that I am either, but there are certain things that I really get into. Ragnarok and Roll was one of my favorites. And then obviously we got into the actual Ragnarok movie, which is one of my favorite MCU movies for sure.
Retweet. Top five for sure.
Yeah, and then I was drawn to the book in general, just, oh, Beta Ray Bill book, cool, I'm going to check it out. But I'll pick up anything that has Daniel Warren Johnson's name on it, period.
That's me now, dude. I never heard of Daniel Warren Johnson before picking this up, and now I'm like, dude, will you be my uncle?
After reading this, I'm dying to pick up Murder Falcon. I know you.
Oh my gosh.
I need to hop on as soon as possible.
Anything from him, like, so he, to me, like visual wise, like as far as how it looks, he doesn't look anything like Frank Miller in his work, but it, like for me as a younger early out reader, I was obsessed with like anything Frank Miller did up until a certain point. Because just seeing a guy who did pretty much all of it, you know, the guy doing the art and the writing, I thought that was really cool. And then now Daniel Warren Johnson is – obviously there's other people. We interviewed Megan Huang, and she's doing that stuff too. Daniel Warren Johnson is just somebody I've been a fan of for a while just because of his style in general, seeing him be able to control the whole story on both sides of it. I feel like it really helps the clarity of what he's trying to tell in anything he writes, and just everything he touches is sick. Like, just it's really good.
Yeah, dude, he's so good. For real. I mean, I just finished reading Murder Falcon yesterday, and I gotta tell you, it's a fantastic read. I mean, it's amazing.
I need to get it. I need to get it,
TJ.
I'm on it.
Its reread factor is very high.
Oh, yeah. Tevin gave it back to me today, and I'm probably going to read it, like, sometime in the next couple of days again. Like, yeah, it's good. So good.
But so, like, have you guys, like, read, like, Extremity or anything like that?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
Dude, my grandparents gave me two volumes of Extremity.
Ooh, shout out to my grandma.
I'm still trying to reach out to the guy, so, you know.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I just want to say, I imagine Daniel Warren Johnson, like, when he's working on comics, he's just, like, in a garage blaring, like, Judas Priest and just, like, takes breaks from drawing to go shred on the guitar real quick and then just, like, gets right back to it.
Especially in this issue 5, my man's was definitely in the factory with that one.
Indeed.
Woo!
I think when he writes comics, he actually, he doesn't even touch a pen to the paper. He actually just steps away, plugs his guitar in, and just starts shredding, and then it manifests creation.
Yeah, sir. You know, I thought about it. I'm gonna learn that riff that's in the book. I took a picture of it before I gave it back to Derek. I'm gonna learn it. I'm not gonna spoil anything with it, but there's a riff that they give you. It's a scale, and I'm gonna learn that scale and see what it sounds like.
I'm all over that.
And then I might, if I can nail it good enough, I might do a recording of it and play it for
sick.
For the homieverse.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, the homieverse.
Did you bums read the Skybound X Murder Falcon story?
Dude, I literally, so I didn't pull it at the shop, and I went back and I looked for it, and they didn't have it.
Well,
man, they sold out.
How convenient that your boy, Ricky Z, has more than one copy. Uh-huh. And they can be yours for $1 million.
The best I can do is three.
We could probably work it out. I got two copies because there's a Murder Falcon cover and there's a Science Dog cover, and everybody who's aware of me as a human knows I really like Invincible, so
I had to get them both. I promise I won't fire you. Is that? That's not even my department. I can't follow through with that. So
I was about to say, like, this was like a sleeper thing the whole time. It's really Tevin's been pulling all the strings. Yeah, he's about to fire me.
Tevin's the man behind the curtain.
It makes sense.
He, as in Homecoming, he's Ned. Guy in the chair.
Yeah, he's
guy
like,
in the chair.
He's like sneakily just running the show.
Yeah, yeah. We don't talk about it, you know.
So, like, before we dive into Beta Ray Bill, let's just talk about Shang-Chi really quick. And I just want to say, like, I saw it today, and I feel like I'm a fucking moron because I've been saying Shang-Chi this whole time, but the motherfucker is Shang-Chi.
Dude, I mean, in fairness to you, it was in print and not spoken for how many decades, and also you are not Chinese, nor do you speak it, to my knowledge.
Exactly. It was like a short little interview with Feige like months ago, and he was like, Shang-Chi in The Legend of Ten Rings. And I was like, oh my God, I have been saying this wrong my entire life. But dude, how great. How great.
It was so good.
So good, right?
Watch it again like right now, and I don't want to jump the gun and be crazy, but I told my wife, when we left the theater, I sat on this thought for like 10 minutes. And then I was like, that might be like my top 5 or 6 MCU movies.
Oh, easily.
And I'm going to wait for like a month or so and then maybe watch it like 17 more times before I decide.
No, I've decided top 5 for sure. I'm not sure which one is coming off my list for it to replace, but it's for sure in that top 5.
It's so stinking good. It is everything like that you would want from like a classic Jackie Chan movie, but also everything you'd want from an MCU movie. Cause it had that like hilarious choreography all throughout that like is a staple of Jackie Chan stuff, right? Is that really good, hilarious choreography and fast, like lots of quick stuff. Yeah. And this whole movie was like sick, awesome fight sequences, but also like really very authentically MCU.
Yeah.
For sure.
The fight were like, just mesmerizing. Like I literally felt like I couldn't take my eyes off the screen. And the guy's name, forgive me everybody, but the guy's name's escaping me, but the stunt coordinator that worked on Shang-Chi, he actually unfortunately recently passed, like maybe 2 weeks before the movie or something, like very recently. And he was actually, I'm pretty sure, again, I could have my facts a little wrong here, so maybe someone will correct me, but he was like one of the only Americans to ever be on Jackie Chan's stunt team. And like he like worked closely with Jackie and, you know, for years and years, and he was a part of his stunt team. And like I said, I think you can really see
that makes sense.
That influence come through on screen, and especially in the fight choreography.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my gosh. That first big fight scene. And like we talked about pre-show, we're not doing any spoilers, but like that first fight scene, I could not stop just like staring. I mean, obviously you're in a movie, you paid money to watch it, but like I was just like thinking to myself while it's going, like, holy crap, this is ridiculous good. Like, and yeah. and like it's going on for so long and it was nonstop the whole time.
Yeah, literally the whole time. I don't think I like exhaled. Like I was just like glued to the screen the whole time. Not once did I lose attention or felt like, you know, worn out. Like I was completely in it the entire time.
Yep. No blinking, like, no breathing.
My wife doesn't really even like the MCU or superhero movies that much, but she was like super into it. She loved it.
Yeah, my wife loved it, like, for sure.
So like I think that speaks volumes, you know. Yeah, like, my wife doesn't give a shit about comic books or the MCU, but she was like, this is really good. Oh my god. I was like, yes.
Dude, you watch, she's coming around. How long you been married? 2 years?
Going on 3.
Oh, look at that. So when me and my wife first got married, she didn't care about anything like this. She was just like, oh, he's a nerd and that's cool and whatever. But then like over the years, she started wearing down because one of her friends watched Doctor Who. Then I'm like, that's way nerdier than any of the crap I do. And then she started kind of being like, nah, it's not the same. And I'm like, no, it is. And then certain things are happening, right? Like David Tennant from Doctor Who shows up in the Jessica Jones show. She's getting more, like, these little things are hooking her in more and more. She's watching the movies because I'm watching the movies. She didn't read any books, right? Then I got her to read Invincible. And then she's a freaking
Book
nerd,
of Mark.
So. Yeah, she's a nerd.
Before you know it, you're going to come home and she's just going to be running around your house dressed as Jane Foster. Throwing Mjolnirs at your kids.
Throwing Mjolnirs. Oh, it's so funny. I do have a Stormbreaker toy. I mean, it's not mine. It's like my 6-year-old's, but it's or 5. How old is he? I don't know. It's his. Wow.
Dude, for real though. I have a
lot of them.
And GameStop had like a giant Stormbreaker, and I was like, "Fuck, if I had money to throw."
I'd be getting that as soon as possible.
Wednesday polls or somebody posted a picture of one of the Stormbreakers like a while back. That was like, you know, as much as a car cost, but it was so cool.
Was it OG Stormbreaker or MCU Stormbreaker?
It was the MCU Stormbreaker, but it was like a replica and it was full size and it was ridiculous expensive.
Beautiful. I've seen a couple of the OG, like from the comic Stormbreaker. I want that. That would
That'd be cool. Sick.
The coolest. So
let me comment about Shang-Chi real quick.
I'm sorry, Tevin.
I was letting everybody talk. I didn't want to talk over anybody. I'm trying to be polite.
Tevin, you're so gracious.
Thank you. You know, I read some of the origin stuff for Shang-Chi, and I was not, and I picked up that new series that they're starting to run, and I was not into it. I didn't like it. And, you know, I had low hopes for this because I was like, I don't really like the character. I didn't like the story. You know, I'm not really into it. And then the movie started and I was like, okay, this is all right. It's weird how they're starting out in the movie. And then it just progressively it blew my mind the further we went into it. And like, there's a lot of stuff that I would have never expected that happened. And it was just awesome. Dude, I mean, it was an amazing movie. And, you know, again, I did not like the story that they're running now, the series that they're running now. Don't come after me if you really like it. You know, it's just not my forte. So.
I'm kind of similar with that. Like, I read stuff with Shang-Chi in it. Shang-Chi. I said it wrong.
Shang-Chi.
I've read it with that scene, by the way, when he's explaining his name. Cracked me up. So anyway, I have more enjoyed him as a featured character. And less as a standalone. So like his little appearances in Heroes for Hire, his stuff where he's like trains Wolverine or where he does some training with Captain America and Spider-Man, like these kind of things. I really like those. I super enjoyed his appearance in the more recent Domino solo book. That's one of my favorite ones. But like Tevin said, his standalone stuff, which to be fair, I haven't read a ton of, just like enough to know the overall story.
Yeah.
It never was like, oh, this is the best thing ever. It was like, man, he's a cool character. And I like him in other people's books, but not necessarily enough to pull his.
Yeah, make him his own standalone character.
Oh yeah, but his the movie, and I do like the way they did him in the movie.
Yeah.
Versus how especially in the older books and in the 90s stuff where he shows up, his speaking patterns that they use in the books I found a little corny. So I liked it how they delivered him in the movie.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I think like you were saying, Ricky, I think you're not alone in that. And feeling that, he kind of, in the books at least, he kind of shines more in ensemble books as opposed to his solo titles. I don't think that's a very controversial opinion, even among the Shang-Chi fans. But I completely agree. I haven't done my extensive homework on the Shang-Chi comics, but I do like the run that's going on right now, the Shang-Chi versus Marvel universe. I'm liking that. Yeah. Both of your guys' reviews are the kind of reviews that I love, where you guys are both I wasn't really sure about this character. I've read a couple things, and then the movie just blows you guys away. I love those kind of reviews, and I love when these movies, whether you like a character in the books or not, I like when these movies can really shine on a character and really show the potential of how great a character can be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you do it right, they can be just fantastic frontrunners.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's why I'm really hopeful for this Eternals movie, because there's a lot to unpack with the Eternals. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do in the movie, because, I think Eternals has the potential to be bigger than Endgame.
Yeah.
If they can work it correctly.
Well, and in terms of significance to significance to MCU events, it probably should be or really close.
Yes. Yeah.
But I had shelved it okay, I'll see it, but I don't really care. And not because I don't care about the Eternals and whatever, more because I just felt like it wasn't going to be any good, even though there's people in it that I really like. And then I saw the trailer and I was oh, this looks so good.
I was going to say, fellas, don't even get me started on Eternals, because we'll be here for about 5 hours. I could go on and on about this movie. I am so excited for Eternals.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I just I really hope they don't mess it up.
I think it's going to surprise a lot of people. I think it's one of those.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah, I've been comparing it. When I talk to some people about it, I always compare it to Guardians, and not in the sense of content, it's going to be like Guardians, but just in the sense of when Guardians first came out, I feel like majority of people were Guardians, what the hell is that?
And then it blows their mind. Yep.
Exactly. And then it was everyone's favorite movie, whether they were a superhero fan or not, everyone loved the Guardians. And
all of a sudden everybody loves a fucking raccoon with a gun and shit.
Exactly. And not saying that everyone is gonna love Eternals. Everyone, everything is subjective. Everyone has their own opinions. But I think it is going to be similar in the sense of, I think it's going to take a lot of people by surprise, and a lot of people are going to leave the theater being why have I never heard of Eternals? What have I been doing this whole time?
Well, and I think to your point, I was just talking to my dad a few days ago. Actually, the day that I saw Shang-Chi was that he, growing up in the 70s, reading comics, Guardians wasn't really one of those things you could get unless you were going into a comic store, which were not very common. So in your spinner racks and your grocery stores and your pharmacies, you didn't get that stuff. You got Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Captain America, X-Men, that kind of those, the common, the staples, the movies that have already been made. So then when Guardians came out, even for me, deep into my nerddom at that time, I was like, okay, cool. I know the Guardians. I know them from stuff. I didn't care too much. I didn't read other than random one-off issues from the early Guardians. Yeah. And I read stuff, that was more common and featured them in the more modern, I should say, and featured them. So my expectations weren't that high. And for non-nerds, they were we don't even know. And I think it's the same with Eternals, because really outside of comic book Twitter, not a lot of people know who the Eternals are.
Yeah, even
I mean, they really don't.
Twitter, I feel like
even,
a lot of people who are comic book fans don't even know who the Eternals are, which I don't know. For me, I think that's exciting. Like, I know some people are like, oh, you don't even know who the Eternals are. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. To me, I'm excited for people to discover that. I'm excited for someone who has no idea what an Eternal or Deviant or a Celestial is. I'm excited for them to go into the movie and discover this. And, you know, if they don't like it, that's fine. But I think it's going to hit with a lot of people.
Yeah, and you get to dive into the comics with them. Tons of fun.
Yes,
I've been an Eternals fan my whole fucking life. I'm just fucking kidding. I never heard of them before the movie.
I mean, if you ask Catholic comic book cleaner, they are.
What is that noise? I hear something. It sounds like an ocean. What's happening?
Kevin, are you drowning?
What's
happening? What? Somebody put a shell up to the phone.
Is George Bush trying to waterboat us?
And is it gone? What happened?
I don't know. I don't hear it now.
Okay, good.
All right, we're good.
Good.
All right, so let's talk about Bill now, because I got to talk about Bill.
Bill.
Bill. We don't want to get copyrighted, right?
They can't touch us. We're invincible.
It was a remake.
That's right. Bill Nye's.
So can we just talk about how, like, pretty much every issue of this bitch made me emotional as fuck?
For real. I was going to say, I think the strongest thing about this run, I think what pulls you in is the action, and what pulls you in is the crazy art and, you know, the action spectacles. But I think what made me stay and what made a lot of people stay is the heart of this book. It really
has a lot of heart.
Yeah.
Like, I was hooked from, like, as soon as I read the first issue, I was like, what the fuck just happened to me? Like, why am I feeling so much for this horse face? Feelings! I feel like I know this guy.
Yeah, which I think really speaks to Johnson's writing. And I think the main thing that Johnson did so well in this arc, if I could, like, pick one thing, I think my favorite thing is, you know, he's not necessarily, like, trying to reinvent Better Ray Bill. Like, he could have taken this opportunity to, like, make it a whole, not necessarily a whole new character, but just kind of make it a whole new kind of lane for him. But instead of doing that, he took what we've already seen of Bill and the story of Bill that has transpired thus far. And instead of having that be kind of the backdrop of a Thor story, brought it to the forefront of his own story. And we really got to dive into, okay, well, who is this guy? And not only who is this guy, but, like, why is he doing what he's doing? And, like, really going more in depth into the pain and kind of tragedy that I think Better Ray Bill is. Like, while he is a badass, you know, warrior and all that, I think really at the heart of it, he's a truly tragic character and someone that I want to see have a good day, for lack of a better word. But
I
want to
be his fucking friend, dude.
Great.
Like, I just want Beta Ray Bill to come over to my house and play Xbox or some shit.
Right? Like, just share a beer, play some ping pong, like, chill.
Yes, fucking ping pong. And watch, I also want to say,
watch Hook.
Yeah,
yes,
watch Hook.
Exactly, watch Hook.
I really liked how they spun it out of Donny Cates' Thor.
Yep.
I liked that. It was really cool.
That's and then, getting like, a little me bit
geared of King up. And, yeah, and a little bit of King and Black in there.
Yep.
In that first issue.
I'm looking at the panel right now when they get Fin Fang Foom in there.
Fuck yeah, dude.
So just good. when he shows in and is like, kneel before the mighty Foom. And it's just like so cool looking.
And Foom looks so badass in this.
Oh, he looks really
good. Yes.
I haven't seen Foom look as intimidating and just monstrous as he does in this in a long, long time.
DWJ gave him the medal.
Truly. What's
that's up? Sick, you know?
Forgive my ignorance. It's Lady Sif was his girlfriend or whatever, right? That rejected him?
Yes.
Can I just say Lady Sif is fucking white bread? Because I'm just going to say it. If Beta Ray Bill has a horse face, that man has a horse cock. So why the hell wasn't she sleeping with that man?
Gross. I mean, points are made. Points are made.
I think that's an assumption, though, there.
Don't encourage him.
Look, I'm not. It's not an assumption. Anatomy is anatomy. Like, I mean, she missed out.
he is also cybernetic, so who knows what my man's is packing down there.
Right, dude. He could have, like, a full ass... Yeah, like a whole ass piston.
Go, go gadget.
He's also a Corbinite, so... Yeah. I don't know. I'm not personally familiar with Corbinite body parts.
Anatomy.
Yeah.
I was trying to avoid saying genitals. Because I'm pretty sure I said that once on a podcast already, and I was like, ugh, gross.
Who am I?
That just reminds me of that John LaJoy song. Show me your genitals.
Your genitals.
Oh my gosh. Why? How do you remember that, man?
I can't remember.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say because he watched it 8,700 times.
You better believe it.
He did.
I used to sing it and do the dance. Like, no fucking shame, dude. That shit was a bop.
Yeah, old people burning, or what was that?
I was about to say, the old people burning thing is one that sticks in my head, because I remember
old people burning, put your hands up.
That's funny, classic.
Ugh. You didn't like it?
In college, I thought it was, like, the funniest thing ever. And then I had, like, a little shift. I'm like, yeah, I think I watched this enough. I watched the league at one point because I was very deep into fantasy sports in an aggressive and scary way. And I put that part of me aside and I found my peace. But because of him, I got talked into three leagues and I haven't played in several years because it's a thing that's dangerous for me. But it's like my symbiote has returned.
You found your weakness.
I chased my symbiote away. It has returned and now things are happening. But I watched the league because I remembered he was in it and I was like, oh, I'll watch that fantasy football and John LaJoy. I don't remember really much about it other than him going, like, trying to draft a Canadian football player. And it was really funny for that. So, and that's the whole story. Back to Bill.
So I was really like, when she did reject him though, and then he looks at himself in the mirror, it's just
that was
like,
so sad, dude.
Fuck you.
Super sad.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really rock with Sif on that one. I was like, come on, you're gonna reject my boy just because he can't turn back? Like, come on now.
It's not right? His fault. He could have an emotional connection.
I'm sorry?
They could have had an emotional connection. What's wrong with her?
Right? Yeah, and like
exactly.
Like Bill in the horse face form, he's totally freaking jacked. And like as a Corbinite, he looks like a fucking hepatitis one punch man.
Hey, he looks like a nice guy.
Shredded. A Julian salad. Shredded.
I don't think
I've seen Bill look this shredded ever. I think
it's Danny Warren Johnson's art.
Yeah, I would say he made him a force to be reckoned with for sure.
Very much.
Oh, yeah. Macho Man Randy Savage over you.
That's the same.
So you're saying a bunch of Slim Jims is what you're saying.
Dude, imagine Vader and Bill eating a Slim Jim. Mm.
I think they just found a new spokesperson.
Yo, reach out to a Slim Jim.
Yeah, tell Marvel to call Slim Jim and we'll get like some sick ass commercials.
I remember when I unlocked the Slim Jim guy on Dave Mira 2. I thought that was so cool.
The BMX game?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll never forget it.
First, we talk about Superman 64, and now we're talking about BMX.
The difference is, that was a good game, and Superman 64 can die.
Oh, now we know you have two fires.
Dude, just give Ricky a fucking fantasy sport draft and Superman 64 and his head might fucking explode.
The only way that he could draft his favorite player is by going through all the rings on Superman 64.
Oh, well, that explains why I didn't get any players I liked. So.
Can we talk about, like, Daniel Warren Johnson's, like, love for professional wrestling, too? And, like,
yes,
throwing that shit in the book.
Aggressively highlighted in issue 5.
Yes.
But also also in issue, was it 2 where they had the bar fight?
Yep, issue 2 where he threw that fucking Rainmaker.
Yeah. Yeah. Grabbed him by his arm and chin music.
Oh, dude, it was amazing. So fucking in your face. Like, his style is almost kind of like graffiti, but much more doper.
Dude, I love it. And that's how his, like, his lettering is so much like that. Mm-hmm. Just like you just said, Derek, where, like, it's not just him doing the lettering, because it was the Joe Sabino or whatever. But Johnson does the, like, more animated lettering. And I love that, like, yeah, splatter effect that he does, where it's like within the bubble, there's like the spatter that's kind of in there.
Yes.
And it's just like this, like you said, kind of graffiti looking. It's just extra cool.
Like, 110%.
Well, he did some lettering in Murder Falcon too, didn't he?
Yeah. Say, I think
he puts in the thing that he did like 1-3, something like that.
Yeah, I think he did all the lettering in at least a couple issues, but I know he does like the more animated, and the like the lettering that gets into the panels and the sound effects stuff. I think he does all that.
He does all that.
What can this man not do?
Nothing. Dude. I mean,
DJ, make a bad DJ comic.
Yeah.
That's it.
I do got to say, I think my favorite part of the first issue, we're still talking on the first issue, is the panel of, like, Thor returning. Like,
when he gets Foom with the lightnings?
Yes, like, Better Ray's, like, fighting his ass off, and then...
I love horse meat!
Yeah, and at the last minute, boom, Odin's son comes in, everyone's like, oh, Thor, savior, protector of Asgard, hooray, hooray, and they literally, the last panel just shows Better Ray sitting all beat up, and everyone hoisting Thor up, and I don't know, I just thought that panel was so, so great. Like, again, I feel like Better Ray is such a tragic character, and a lot of that has to do being in Thor's shadow, and
really they really set the tone.
Yeah, exactly, it set the tone, and it really visually showed us like him actually in his shadow, you know, like literally in his shadow. And I think like you said, it really sets the tone for the rest of the series and really sets the adventure that he's about to go on, you know.
Yeah, it kind of bums me out that him and Thor have, you know, had these issues, because like early on, obviously, they didn't get along. Like, we're talking day one. They didn't, for those who haven't read earlier stuff, they didn't get along. But then they became just great buddies.
Yep,
and then it kind of, you know, went away. And I was like, oh, man, because I really liked their whole, like, brotherhood battle buddy thing. And then I also really like this, because it led to some really good drama stuff. But it super bums me out when I'm like, oh man, Thor's being that arrogant butt face again. And
yep, and I mean, you guys know I love my man Thor the Odin son, but you know, he is not without fault. But like we were talking about earlier, I think what really strengthens this is it is pulling from what happened in Donny Cates' Thor. And
yeah,
necessarily want to spoil for anyone who hasn't read Donny Cates' run yet, but in the beginning of the run, a lot of it has to do with Galactus. And for those who don't know, Galactus ate what's called Beta Ray Bill's home world. Well, his second home world, the new Corbin. So Beta Ray Bill has a really, really big feud with Galactus, and rightfully so. So when we see, you know, Thor working with Galactus, it's reasonable to see Ray's reaction. Like,
the slap right in the face.
Exactly. He's like, what the hell, man? You're my oath brother. What the hell are you doing with this jackass? And I mean, again, I don't want to spoil the run for those who haven't read it, but unfortunately, Thor had to do that. And unfortunately for Beta Ray, he could not get past his own grudge against Galactus to see that, which results in Stormbreaker being destroyed. And I think that is, and that's really what propels this story, is, you know, for Bill and the journey that he's been on before this arc and before this run started, Stormbreaker was really that one thing that always grounded him. And I don't know if you guys have read the God Hunter arc with Beta Ray, but there's a part in that book where he's talking to a SHIELD agent, and he's basically like, do you know what this is? This is Stormbreaker. Like, this is Mjolnir's equal, and there's few people in this entire universe that can wield it, but I can wield it. Like, I'm not going to betray, you know what I mean? Just, like, he really takes his worthiness of Stormbreaker to heart, and, like, that is very important to him as a character and as a person, and when Thor took that from him, it just something that he cannot get over. And I think
literally kicked him in the nuts.
Literally, yeah. And I think that's a theme that a lot of people can relate to. I mean, obviously in more realistic terms, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think, and like you were just kind of mentioning there, I think the relating to cosmic ridiculous events in a realistic way is what makes Daniel Warren Johnson's writing so good.
Yeah.
In general, and for those like for a book like Extremity, where it's a little bit more down to earth, that's super easy to see. And he kind of spills his guts in that that writing of that book, and even in like his comments about it. So it's more obvious. But then you get into these more ridiculous stories, Murder Falcon, Beta Ray Bill, and it's still you have so many relatable events. And I thought of I don't know the person's name. I just remember reading in an article that led to an interview with a person who had an accident, and it messed up their face, caused a whole mess of scarring. I think there was a fire, I can't remember, and they were damaged really bad. And it was talking about their depression and how they had to deal with that because their girlfriend couldn't deal with it, and couldn't see past it. Mm-hmm. And that's what this whole thing, which obviously I'm not relating to that directly. This is a real event that I read about happening, to this person. And there, here it is, kind of, that's what I thought of when, Bill looks in the mirror and it's just like, ugh, this is where I'm at now.
Yeah.
Cause Sif, you know, Sif shot him down.
It's such a grounded story, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like everybody, I don't give a fuck if you're fucking Michael Jordan or fucking Bill Gates or whatever. Every single person on the planet has felt some form of inadequacy in their life.
Yeah,
you've all been rejected by chicks or dudes, or you didn't make the sports team, or you didn't feel good about the way you looked in the mirror anyways. Like, you're too fat, you're too small, like, whatever. And it's just like, damn, dude. Like,
well, heck, I mean, even look at your job every day, whatever your job is. The majority of people that I've known that have had a job at some point have busted their butt and gotten nothing for it. And
yes.
You know, you work really hard and you think you're doing the right thing. And all you want is somebody to say, preferably somebody who cuts your paycheck, to say, hey, awesome, you did great work. But instead, they just kind of ignore that you even exist. And I know tons and tons of people can relate to that. And that's essentially that's a big chunk of Bill's story anyway, is he just wants to do his job.
Yeah.
But Bill is the fucking hero of the middle class.
Yeah. I think
working,
you guys,
man's Thor.
Yeah. The working class.
Literally though. But yeah, I think you guys hit the nail on the head. Like, I think, you know, no matter what it is, like Derek was saying, no matter what it is in your life, I think everyone can relate to those feelings. And not only those feelings, but another part of this, that the emotional part that I really love, are the scenes of like Beta Ray and Scuttlebutt and the flashback with his mother. And
God, I wanted Bill and Scut to kiss so fucking bad.
But just like them telling him, like, look, you don't need a hammer or a sword, like you have everything that you need already, but that's not enough for him to believe it himself, you know, like. And I, again, everyone can, I think, relate to this, where like Derek was saying, maybe you didn't make the sports team or whatever, and you know, someone's like, oh well, you're great, you know what I mean, like, you know, you can do whatever you want, and like, yeah, all those affirmations are very nice, but I think we all can agree that sometimes you just don't feel it yourself, and you don't feel it in your own heart. And I think that's really a powerful thing. And I think the way that Johnson played with that kind of theme was very beautiful in the book. And those scenes, like I said, especially with Scuttlebutt and his mother, I think those really were some of my favorite.
Oh, 100%.
Can I say,
for sure,
this comic also has one of the, if not the best, supporting character in a single comic book story for the year, for fucking Scourge.
Dude, Wingman of the Year.
Dude. Yes. Oh my God. Scourge is like,
so good.
Everybody needs a fucking Scourge in their life, bro. He likes to fucking shoot guns, and he likes to help.
Yep.
He just always about, give me the fucking gun, and I can help you.
Scourge is. I have issue 5 open to where he's getting his special scuttlebutt gun. Just because I thought that was a cool panel, and
it is.
Just seeing the gun come out of scuttlebutt and into his hand, and his face is like, oh.
That splash page is beautiful.
And that.
Oh yeah.
That
one, oh yeah.
There's that one little panel of him. I don't remember which issue it is. Oh, I think it might be in 2 or 3. I don't fucking remember. Fucking. Bill like knocks the fuck out of the dude with the weapon that Scut makes him, and like it shows Scourge. He's like crying. He's like, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, he's like biting his lip.
Yes, dude. Yep.
It was funny because that was something that I thought was great in Ragnarok the movie, was him just being so geared up, and he's got his guns from Texas, and he's just like, it's just like so funny how they did it in that. And he was like this idiot in the movie, but like it fit the film. And then he still is like a lovable kind of idiot in this, but he's like so bound to his friendship with Bill. Yes. And they executed the Daniel Warren Johnson's writing of the relationships across the board are so good. And I felt like the relationship between Bill and Scourge and Pip, I don't want to shortchange Pip. Not that was a short joke, not on purpose. I didn't mean to make a short joke. But they the bond there and the way that specifically with Scourge was played out, I thought was super good.
Yeah.
And one of the more emotional things in the book.
Yeah. Like Scourge came all the way from fucking Valhalla to help that man.
Scourge is the true definition of a ride or die. Like
ride or die. Ride and he's already dead.
Yeah, true. Yeah, I loved his little ragtag team that Johnson put together for this run. Scourge, like obviously we just talked, Scourge is amazing in the whole book. I felt like Scourge was the book's, like that's how I felt. Like I just said, I want to help Bill. I feel like my man's cannot catch a break, and I felt like Scourge, me, like what the hell, man? Like I'm here for the ride. Like let's go. Let's get this done. And I was just like, yes, finally someone has got my man's back.
And the
Scourge represents the audience, then.
Exactly. That's how I felt, at least.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
I can agree with that for sure. And like. In issue 2, when they're in the bar fight looking for Odin, one of my, like, I keep thinking of all the random shit like, that I thought go. Of. Yeah, like, Scourge's like, fuck yeah, let's do it. And then that dude
like, you just call like, him a horse face? Like, he has the most beautiful horse face I've ever seen.
Dude, and then, like, and like mid fight, Pip shows up and Scourge is like all insane and is like, ah, Pip's here, yay! As he's like slamming a dude through a table and choking he's another so dude or whatever he was doing, and has this nut job smile and he's like, Pip.
And then like all of that's happening to the dude, one of the dudes they're fighting is holding a knife to Bill's throat and he tells that motherfucker, I'm gonna turn you into glue.
Yeah. That was one of my favorite lines
in the whole series, dude.
Dude, I loved like when Scourge, like you were saying, when he just slapped that dude because he called him a horse face. He's like, what? And just like baby put the baby powder in his hand and just slapped him to the ground.
That's the most beautiful horse face.
Like, for real, this series just made you feel every emotion you could, every issue.
Yeah, it did, really.
Like, I laughed, I got upset, I got angry, I got happy, and then it's just like, it was over. Fuck.
That's the worst part about it, is that it had to end. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, you're good.
I was going to say, speaking of the bar scene, though, or the part with them in the bar, I also love that we get like a little glimpse of like Odin in retirement, and he's just like
chill.
Like, yeah, I brew beer in the back. Like,
he's like got the keg on his shoulder.
Yeah, he
was
just,
pretty cool.
Yeah, Odin just like a brewmaster. Like,
I don't know if you guys have seen like J.K. Simmons or like Mel Gibson in their tank tops in their older age, but they're like kind of jacked still. He's got like that same when you see it was like a random picture that was tweeted to him by somebody.
You're talking about JK, right? When he's
JK, when he was in the gym and he had his beard and his arms were all just like shredded up. That's what Odin made me think of.
Literally though. But yeah, I just love how he's just like, yeah, the bartender lets me brew beer in the back, so I hang out here.
Just kicking it.
Yeah.
I loved that.
I imagine Odin, like, could be a roadie.
Oh, easily.
He could totally, just go hang out with Priest. And, like, it'll just be totally chill.
You think
chill.
Everybody just hangs out with Priest. That's everybody.
Yeah. Dude, I'm sorry.
He's obsessed with Judas Priest.
He's always like, who's that guy? Oh, he's cool. I bet he likes Judas Priest.
I bet
that's Rob Halford himself.
That's like John,
he only listens to he exclusively listens to jazz only. No metal. And you're like, oh man, I thought he was cool. I guess we're not friends anymore.
Hey, jazz.
Gotta give some love to the jazz.
Everybody, I do love jazz. A mean saxophone, bro.
But speaking of who Odin looks like, I think he also, like he, you were saying, he looks like a roadie. I think he could totally pull off a Lemmy Kilmeister in this.
Yep.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, he looks like Lemmy.
Just shave that middle chunk out of his face.
So what's y'all?
I always think of School of Rock when Jack Black's like, Motorhead! Yeah, anyway.
I love you that were saying, movie. I was just going to ask, what was y'all's favorite issue of the series? Because we only got 5 issues. Did you guys have a favorite?
I did. The trade paperback.
Well.
I'm just kidding. All 5 of them are my favorite.
Honestly.
If I had to pick, I'd say 5. That climactic ending with his fight is too badass not to throw into the top ring, you know?
I'm with Tevin. I think 5 is probably my vote if I had to pick.
I would say five for the visuals and just the badassness of it, because it is just so badass. But if I'm being completely honest, I think I might have to go issue 4.
My man.
I really loved issue 4. It just kind of hit all the right notes for me.
Dude, issue 4 is my favorite too, for real.
Yeah,
I've got the double page where he comes up on Twilight open right now, just because it's so pretty.
It's so good.
Dude, it's so pretty.
And all of the flashing back, like all the flashbacks to his major events. I mean, fuck, dude, suplex Thor, dude.
Oh, and you remember, like, how did you guys feel in issue 4 when you turned to that final page? And Surtur was standing there just looking like ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was just like
my pants.
Yeah. It's like damn.
Yeah, he looks badass, to say the least, in this. Like Surtur always looks pretty badass, but I mean he's looking especially sinister in this.
It's like thank God for Bill. We have to wait a month for issue 5. That way he gets some fucking time to prep.
Dude, I need some prep time.
I was very bothered and slightly butthurt when I turned that page and I'm like, crap, I don't have any more to read.
Yeah.
Because like my first reaction, I turned the page and I was just like, ooh.
Well, see,
and then I was like, wait, no.
I kind of got lucky because issue 4 came out when I was still on the road on making this move out here. So I missed issue 4 when it came out, but I already had issue 5 on my pull list. So by the time I got to California, I got issue 5, and Derek kind enough to hook me up with his digital copy for 4. So I got to read them one after another, and I'm so glad I was able to, because I would have been in the same boat as y'all. I would have been dying to read that final issue.
Yeah, Derek, such a nice guy.
Yeah, shouts out, Derek.
I'm like Robin Hood. Like, I'm totally willing to give away my digitals, bro.
We already did the Nottingham issue, bud.
Yeah, but that's not that. He's off the fucking rails. Me, I just do rails, okay? Just kidding.
So, Tevin, Tevin minus the I, why was 5 your favorite?
I told you what. The big climactic fight with Surtur, everything comes to fruition. Like, it all just works out in the end.
There you go.
The fight scenes in issue 5 were epic. It was a great ending.
Yeah,
it was a great ending. It was a great ending.
Like, it felt like I was watching
the air. Go ahead, Tim. Yeah, if you're jumping through the air rearing back with your weapon, I mean, it's automatically one of my favorite scenes.
Yo.
I mean, just the gumption it takes to do that, because you're so vulnerable, really.
Yep, all exposed up in your innards there.
Yeah, so, I mean, just the climactic ending, and I know that sounds cliche, but it truly is a great ending to a great series. I mean,
That speaks pretty highly, I think, of the series that, in this, granted, it's only 4 of us, but...
Yeah.
Everybody picked 4 or 5 as their favorite issue, which means that the series got better from start to finish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Absolutely.
And it was like you said, Tevin, like the conclusion was so strong. And a lot of times, not as much with minis, but with like long ongoings, a lot of times the endings kind of fizzle because you're like, oh, crap. Well, we just got word from above. We got to kill this thing. So the end. And like this was like that's what like I really have grown to move more into minis and events and, you know, specific arcs and stuff, because it's calculated and it's short and there's a start and there's a finish. And a lot of times you get better quality stories. Not always, but
it's a lot more contained.
I just want to say in issue 5, watching Bill fight Surtur was like the comic book equivalent of fucking Hogan and Macho Man at WrestleMania, dude.
Yeah, it was so epic.
Dude, the hype, the blow for blow, like, Bill whooped his ass, Surtur whooped his fucking ass. It was
He was like, come fight me, you know what I mean? He's like, you're gonna fight me at 800 feet tall or whatever, and Surtur is like, alright then, and then just shrinks down to his size.
Shit. You, like, Surtur's a fool, because I'd have been like, yeah, man, I am. You're dead now.
Yeah. Like, yeah, fuck you.
But he like baited him in. Bill's like, hey man, I think maybe you're not that strong if you won't get smart. And I'd be like, yeah, I don't care, squish. Like,
Well, do you think that might have more with him trying to prove his worthiness to the sword, though?
Yeah, for sure. And it was written into the story, so it made sense. Yeah. It wasn't like a dumb gimmick. It was he had to, like Tevin said, he had to prove himself to this sword. And he was like in love with this sword. It was super weird, but like it made sense, and he's a crazy giant demon man, so you know.
Yeah.
We don't ask questions beyond that, you know.
No, and I thought, I mean, for me, kind of like what Tevin was saying, like 5, it concluded so well, it was hard for me to not pick it as my favorite. But also the visuals are ridiculous all throughout it. Like when Bill rips Twilight up. And it's got like that whoosh, you know, that big cloud thing.
Yeah, dude.
It's so same beautiful. Thing as like when it's all over Surtur, like just the swirly, puffy mess of like all of the fire and smoke and stuff. The way that Daniel Warren Johnson draws it is so cool. But also like the whole issue had everything that we liked in all the other issues, because it has all the emotional content is in there as well. And I felt like one of my favorite moments in any of the books was, I mean, you're talking like the last couple pages, probably when he says goodbye to Scourge.
Yes.
And Scourge just like is relieved and all these things. And then he slips in his little, like, take care of Pip for me kind of thing. And it's like the friendship relationships are resolved. I guess as best as you could for one, something that's not ending. Where you get a conclusive thing for each character. And there was, like you said, the emotional stakes are in there, plus the total conclusion of the story, plus the visuals. But that's really the case for like every issue, isn't it? Like they were all like that.
I think I totally agree with you though, Ricky. I think on 5, like everything is just amplified to 100. Like, oh, yeah. Like you're saying, we get all that stuff throughout the series, but I think it really shines brightest in issue 5. Like you said, the action, the emotions, it all really comes together so nicely. And I love the last panel of issue 5 of Betteray staring in the mirror. He's in his Corviknight form now. He's, you know, defeated Surtur, got the sword, and he looks in the mirror and he still sees the Corviknight monster as opposed to himself. And I just love that, because I just think it was just such a great way to kind of end it out. And like we were just talking about, that whole theme of, you know, self-worthiness, you know, not other people seeing you as worthy, but yourself feeling worthy. And I just think that was a really smart move to end it like that, as opposed
everyone's
happy. You know what I mean? He got the sword and everything's good now. Like, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, and it was kind of like where it was good, but also I felt like that last panel, like you said, kind of made it almost like it's not. And like, let's get real for a sec, but not totally, because I don't want to, because it makes me uncomfortable. But also, when you're talking about your emotional state, your mental well-being, how you see yourself, your outward appearance, people see you and they're like, oh, it's all good now. Look at him. He's normal again. So he's good.
And not only that,
he sees something different and he can't shake it, because he's not fixed mentally. He's not he's not right where he needs to be in his head state. And he's seeing himself a certain way because he's perceiving himself wrong.
And honestly, if he would have just fucking kissed Scut, everything would have been fine.
She fixed everything else.
Hey, man, why can't they just be friends?
But back to Scut just real quick. Can we just say how fucking sick it was when she was like the spaceship and then she went sentient and then she turned it into the fucking boat?
Dude, yeah. So dope.
That was so
She epic. Just like plugs her arms into the floor, is like, here we go.
I know what to do.
But Scuttlebutt, though, is the low-key unsung hero of almost every Betteray story. Like, any Betteray story that you read, whether it's older, newer, Scuttlebutt is always there. And, like, Scuttlebutt is Betteray's truly only friend. Like, only real, I mean, I guess not person, because she's a machine, but the only thing that has always been there for him, whether it was
Scuttlebutt,
like she has always been there. And I think that's why I also love, like Derek was talking about earlier, the panel where it looks like they're about to kiss, but just like that that tender moment of, you know, them being together. And like I said, like knowing the history of them, Thor is his oath brother, but who's really always been there? Scuttlebutt. It's always, you know,
Scuttlebutt's his Alfred, man.
Literally, though. Sure. Yes, that is a perfect analogy. He literally is Alfred.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And just another point I want to make too. Like, if you just look at issue 1 and then you look at issue 5, like, we got so far in such a short amount of time.
Really?
Like, the story was massive, but it was only five issues.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel rushed. It didn't feel like, over the fucking top, we gotta get to the end. Like, the pacing of this shit was like, fuck, dude, it was perfect.
Yeah, I would agree.
Did you guys play Borderlands at all?
No, I wasn't into it. Tevin was.
So that's because Tevin is horror.
There you go. That's right.
So
that's correct.
Tevin, Fat Thor, did you play Borderlands? I didn't hear.
I've played it before, but I didn't like get super in deep with it. But I've played it before.
So when we got into when they get into, what was it, like issue 3? It might have been 2. I think it was 3, where they run into the fire people. fire forever, those guys. I thought of I can't remember what they're called in Borderlands. The ones that are always on the cover.
Children of the Vault.
The bad guys that are on the cover that eat people.
No.
It's always the their Raiders? Face on the cover. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. The voice. It's the Psychos, isn't it? Gosh, I haven't played the game in a while.
I'm with you.
Either way, for the people listening, it's the one that's head is on the cover of the dang game. their voices is what I heard when these people started yelling about fire and stuff.
Yeah.
I just hear those guys talking about meat puppets and like we're
yeah.
I just thought of Beavis and Butthead.
Fire.
That's sound like in my head.
I pooped too much.
Well, that's fun. Anyway, so question for the Chubby Thunder himself,
Fattest
Thor. I don't know how to what's appropriate. None of those things sound appropriate. Anyway, did you come up with the Fat Thor name post Endgame, or did you decide to do that before?
So that was after Endgame is when Fat Thor was created. It's actually kind of a funny story. So obviously, 'cause
you're actually like a pretty trim guy. So.
Well, I am now. Well, I wouldn't say that. I still got a lot of work to go. But
I have no idea. I've never seen you.
Well, I had my own little kind of weight loss journey over the past, like, I'd say about a year or so. And I lost probably about, like, close to 80-something pounds.
Dang! So,
Nice.
Thank you. So, when that was starting, it was, like, kind of around when Endgame came out. And me and a couple buddies were just talking about Endgame, and we were talking about Fat Thor, and we were just saying like how cool it was, and me being a big guy pretty much my entire life, I really just kind of identified with that, obviously, and I just thought it was so cool that, like, especially at the end of Endgame when they're fighting Thanos and he gets Stormbreaker and Mjolnir, it's like they could have easily made him just like be ripped again, but they chose to make him stay fat, and just like the whole idea of him still being worthy, even though like he's depressed and like, you know, has gained all this weight. I don't know. I just really love that. And so me and my buddies are talking, and I made the joke. I was like, yeah, like I love Fat Thor, but then I realized I look like Fat Thor in real life. I do have a big beard. And we all just thought that was so funny. Like we were just cracking up. So after we had that conversation, my previous Twitter name was Johnny Blaze, but I was like, you know, it's time to retire the Johnny Blaze. And so I went with Fat Thor. And then as I started losing more weight, I don't know, to me, it was just kind of a reminder of where I was and like how far I came. And again, I just really love that idea of like, again, in the movie, like even though Thor is in the worst probably mental and health state that he's probably ever been, he's still worthy to pick up Mjolnir. And it was like, you know what? Like, yeah, I might be overweight and fat and whatever, but I'm still worthy too. And I can do, you know, shit that I want to do. So that's kind of really where the Fat Thor came from. And then it just kind of took off from there. And now it's just kind of like a funny thing that I find is funny.
Dang it. Now you're going to make me like that part of the movie.
I can't help it if I just like, speak the truth, man.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. I was like, when it happened, I was like, oh, that's funny. And then I was like, that's dumb. And then because I was trying to like talk myself out, I'm like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, he had ups and downs in the comics and his Asgardian genetics and blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, well, Volstagg's a bigger guy. So it's pot. And then I was like, no, it's dumb. And I kept going back and forth. And then I stopped caring because I thought the movie was awesome. And then, after you said all that, I'm like, you know what? That is actually, I like that now.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I always saw it. And like I said, that's why I changed the name to Fat Thor. And to me, like I said, it's one, a joke. And it's just, you know, I think it's a funny screen name. People get a kick out of it.
It is
but
funny.
But also kind of, you know, personal and something that I really identified with in the movie.
Man, all this depth. All this depth. You're like a walking Beta Ray Bill miniseries yourself.
Wow. Hey man, you're getting your money's worth.
D TJ, you're like one of the first dudes I ever even followed on Twitter when I started this shit.
Dude, I know. I was gonna say, when you first followed me, I think I don't even remember. You had like maybe like 100 followers or so.
Dang, and, OG.
Dude, and I just want to say congratulations, my dude. Like, you have grown up so much since, like you just said, even when we first met each other, started following each other, and just seeing the success that you've been having, man, like, it is so awesome to see. And I give you guys all the praise, and I'm so happy for you. And like I said, I'm so glad to see everyone catching on to the great stuff y'all are doing.
Like, Ricky, too. Ricky's one of my first followers, too. And I've known Tevin since he used to pick his nose, so it's like, like, this is all just really fucking cool, man. Oh, you still do? Yeah. Fuck.
He still does. Never change.
Yeah, me and Tevin are in a support group.
Tevin, I don't remember if you were on when Tevin said this, TJ, but he tried to turn in his 2 weeks notice to me as a friend, and he's not allowed to have it.
Yeah, he said he turned that in 3 weeks ago, I thought.
Yeah.
Man, y'all are bad at quitting stuff. I'm like, here's my 2 weeks notice, and then bye.
It's just like when you're at your house and you're all alone, and it's just like, I wonder what Tevin's doing.
He's the better Ray to your Thor, your Oath brother.
That's what we tell him, but me and Tevin are secretly like friending it up on the side.
I think they're scheming with me, honestly.
Never messaged me, Ricky.
Dude, you know when like Derek, you know when like Discord and you're like, oh man, Tevin's not on. Where's Tevin been at? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I haven't heard from him. We've been texting the whole time.
Like me and Ricky will be in the Discord, like we have our own little group chat, me, Tevin, and Ricky, and then it's like, oh, here, like, I know this now, and Ricky's like, I thought we were waiting on Tevin. Like, yeah, he fucking texted me. Instead of just messaging me in the fucking Discord.
Yeah, it was the opposite, actually. They text each other, and I'm just like the dumb idiot on the side nobody cares about.
Yeah, Ricky never messages me alone. Like, he never wants to hold a conversation with me.
First of all, that might be true. I don't know.
I mean, can you blame him? You've tried to fire him like 5 times.
Yeah. Well, we both have.
Right. I've never messaged him. I just checked Discord, and I've never privately messaged him. But the counterpoint, Tevin's never messaged me either.
Ooh.
The data runs both directions.
Let's just call it a draw and agree that I don't know what we're agreeing on, but whatever.
Yeah. That's cool. We're past it, right?
Sure.
Why can't we be friends?
No confidence in that, sure.
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
It's about Beta Ray Bill.
Okay.
Because I know, like, we all probably want to go to bed at some point, except California guy over there.
I say, he's I'm like, chilling, man. What's up?
Whatever, man. What covers do you guys have?
Zero.
I wish I had more, but the one that I do have that I absolutely love is the Stegman variant for the issue one. Dude, so good.
I have all cover A's.
I mean, the cover A's are beautiful. So
they are.
Yeah, but the Stegman one, he looks so badass in that. Like, it's crazy. He looks so good.
See, I have I only got one copy of each thing. And the only variant I got was issue one, but it's not the Stegman one.
The Stegman one
is scary.
Yeah, that's why I loved it. But I really wanted to get the Walt Simmons, what's called variant.
Yeah,
but
that one was really cool, and it had the old school. You know, that was what was awesome.
Yeah, the old school, that one was so good, but unfortunately it eluded me.
I have, I don't know who did this one. Because those two were like the ones that I'm like, dude, those are super cool, and if they have them in stock. But I don't think my shop even got those.
As soon as I saw the Stegman variant, like online, I immediately called my shop and was like, dude, you need to pull this for me right now.
Mine is, what's his name? I don't know who did mine.
Either way, it's cool. Anyway, so what other covers? You guys all, you said you had all cover A's for the, all of them, Derek?
Yeah, Tevin doesn't have any because I let him borrow mine.
Yeah, I read Derek, so I guess you can say I have cover A's.
Oh, nice. Oh, mine's Chase Conley. That's who did mine.
Chase Conley.
That's the one where he's holding like the OG Stormbreaker. Well, not quite, but pretty close. And I it's just like a. One,
is that the one that's like a homage to 337?
Yes. You're talking about Thor 337, right?
Yes.
Like his first appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, but instead of him striking down, like on the cover of that one, he's got it like cocked back. Oh, no, no. I know which one you're talking about. That one was, I think that was Todd Knox, wasn't it?
I think it might have been.
Or Malk, or however you're supposed to say it. But no, mine's, it's just the one where it's like him coming at you head on and he's kind of got his hammer ready for a backhand.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. That one's sick.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. They gave me the option because they had, they, sometimes they'll pull both. Mm-hmm. But for this one, I hadn't even had him on my pulls yet. I forgot to call and I was like, crap.
That's the worst.
And, I can't say where this happened because it's technically not allowed. I went in on a Tuesday because they allow subscribers only on Tuesday.
VIP.
But you're still, yeah. But you're not allowed to get books for that coming Wednesday because they're not allowed to release them until Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the helpers was working and not the store owner. And I didn't even think about it. I just grabbed it and was like, I'll take this. And then they're like, oh, cool. No problem. And then a couple of days later, I was like, oh, somebody's going to get in trouble. So I just didn't post about it.
Yeah. I mean, hey,
insider trading.
Yeah.
I really love the cover of issue 3 with him putting Stormbreaker back together.
That is a cool cover, dude. I think that was really cool.
There's so much detail on all that shit.
There is like a crazy amount of detail. And his little surge protector and like.
Yeah, that drill and all the glue, the coffee.
Yeah.
That looks like a roll of toilet paper from like a public restroom.
that's definitely some truck stop bathroom toilet paper.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that. I thought it was like a receipt roll.
That's what crossed my mind first. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. That has to be some butt wiping.
I feel like it's kind of messed up that they've got him using glue. I think that's weird.
Yeah, they don't got nothing better than glue.
That's offensive. Tell me, as Beta Ray Bill, he can't squirt glue out of his own finger?
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, if it were me and I was the horse face killer, I would be like,
horse face killer.
Yeah, like, you know, like Wu-Tang Clan. He's obviously there. So I would be like, I'm not using this. It's offensive. But maybe I'm just sensitive.
No, I agree. I would definitely feel a certain type of way about it if I was a cybernetic horse creature.
That's just metal as fuck saying that.
Dude, hell yeah.
I really liked issue 3's cover a lot. Really, they're all good, but issue 2, I think, because it had the white background.
Yes.
It's kind of that background. Same thing like we talked about with that one Nottingham cover where it's all the rest are dark and then that one's white. Mm-hmm. It kind of like contrasts all the craziness. And then issue 5 just looks super legit, the cover A does, because it's got him just standing there holding Twilight looking all scary.
Yeah, and you got like Surtur in the background.
Yeah, he's like doing his best Heimdall pose while he's
literally
locking that thing.
All right, guys, do we got any last words?
I was just gonna say I love the cover for issue 1 as well with Fin Fang.
Oh, for sure, dude.
Oh, that one's really cool. I'm kind of sad that I didn't pick that one up just because I wound up liking it better, I think, than the one I got.
The cover A's, I mean, that's why I have all cover A's. I thought they're all great. Even the cover of issue 4, like they have Beta Ray, he's like coming down all angelic and shit, saving them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, super dope.
The covers for this book, I mean, they're all like, as the kids would say, lit.
Lit.
Yeet!
Hell yeah. Just an amazing book all around. Everything was great. Would highly recommend pretty much to anyone. Even if you've never heard of Better Ray Bill, this is the book to start for sure.
Go get this in back issues. Order the damn trade. But read it. You need it.
Hey, Thor, shout your Twitter handle out there, man.
Oh, yeah. My Twitter handle is at JT_Elitsip. Also, probably just search Fat Thor, and I'll most likely pop up. I tweet a lot about Thor and pretty much all comics in general, so come find me there.
A rad dude. We all follow each other, so if you can't find him there, go to the Weekly Pulls, Ricky Z, or Tevin. Like, you'll find him. He's there.
That's right.
Up there, I'm out and about.
Chill.
Chill.